Take your Bibles this morning and turn to the book of Ephesians in chapter number 2. It is a very common passage of Scripture. We're going to talk about today the need for grace. The need for grace. As we are looking at and we continue to look at what is important to the church or a church as we move forward, we must remember the importance of grace. I was really reminded of this as I sat and watched the movie War Room. And one of the points in the movie is that there is a person there who needs grace. And there is a person here in the movie that doesn't want to give that person grace. And they are encouraged to be gracious to that other person. And there's a reason why we should be gracious to the other person. And it's because we have been the recipients of grace. And so we want to understand the blessedness of grace in salvation. And then we want to think about how that should impact us. And how that we should be gracious to others because God has been gracious to us. Ephesians 2:8, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast." Now we know, or we want to understand that grace is God's favor on the undeserving. Let's always keep that in mind when we're thinking about grace. Did we deserve the grace of God? Did we deserve that He came to us when we were dead in our trespasses and sins? Did we deserve the fact that He came to us and He quickened our hearts and made us alive and drew us unto Himself and saved us by His marvelous grace? Did we deserve that? The answer to that is no. And that's what grace is. That God came to us when we were sinners and when we were dead, and He drew us unto Himself and He made us alive. We were born again. We did not deserve that. And as you are dealing with other people in your life, they're not going to deserve your favor towards them. They're not going to deserve you forgiving them. They're not going to deserve you being nice to them. They've treated you horribly. They've hurt you. They've done you wrong. But you're to be gracious to them just as Christ was gracious to you. So that's what we're going to see. God's favor on the undeserving. When you look at someone else and say, "Well, they don't deserve my forgiveness," or "They don't deserve me to be nice to them. You don't know how they've hurt me." Remember what Jesus did. Remember how Jesus was gracious to you when you didn't deserve it. When you were dead in your trespasses and sins. When you were going against Him and maybe even saying all manner of evil against Him and living wickedly. But He came to you while you were still dead in your trespasses and sins, and He was gracious to you. Therefore, you should be gracious to others. That's the whole point of the message today. Okay? God has been gracious to us when we didn't deserve it, and we're to be gracious to others even though they don't deserve it. So we know God's favor on the undeserving. We know that it is because of this grace that God favored those who did not deserve it. The reason that we are saved is because God was gracious to us. And we need to remember that grace which God displayed to us as we are dealing with others. So the first thing I want to do as we're thinking about this message today is I want to think about the recipients of grace in the New Testament. And people who received the grace of God even though they didn't deserve it. And the first one that maybe comes to your mind is the woman taken in adultery. Now we want to think about this, and we're not going to look at all of these in the Scripture, but the Bible tells us with the woman taken in adultery, it tells us that she was taken in the very act. Okay. So you know what that means, right? She was taken in the very act. And they brought her and they presented her to Jesus. Now, she was an adulteress. And they accused her before Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, ye that be without sin, cast the first stone. And we know that they all of her accusers left. And Jesus said unto her, woman, where are thine accusers? She said, there is none, Lord. And he said, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Did she deserve Jesus to tell her, neither do I condemn thee? Was she worthy of condemnation? Absolutely she was. The law said that she should not commit adultery, and if she committed adultery, she was worthy of death. But God was gracious, and Jesus Christ was gracious to her. Did she deserve it? Was she seeking it? No, she wasn't seeking it. She was in the very act of adultery. So it wasn't because Christ saw in her a desire to turn away from her sin. No, she was right in the middle of her sin. She didn't deserve it. But Jesus was gracious to her and said, go and sin no more. You see there in the woman taken in adultery, one who Jesus Christ was gracious to. Think about Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was a tax collector, and as you study the scripture, you understand about tax collectors that they were mean and they were ruthless and they took more than what they should. We'll give an example. If your tax bill was $100, they may take two, or they may take three, or they may take five. They had every right by the Roman government to take as much as they wanted, to get all that they could get. And so they were mean, and they were ruthless, and they were thieves. They were illegal thieves. They weren't breaking the law when they were stealing from people. But yet they were thieves. Zacchaeus heard that Jesus was coming through. Did Zacchaeus deserve the grace of God? Who was he and what did he do? He was a tax collector, and he was a cheater, and he was a liar, and he was a thief. Did he deserve the grace of Jesus? No, he didn't. When Jesus came by that day, Zacchaeus had heard about it, and he just wanted to see what all the talk of the town was about. He wanted to see this man Jesus, who was becoming famous, and as Jesus walked by, Zacchaeus, because he was such a short man, had to climb in a tree so he could see Jesus. And Jesus said, Zacchaeus, come down, because I'm going to your house today. And the Lord saved Zacchaeus that day. The Lord was gracious to Zacchaeus that day. Did Zacchaeus deserve it? No. It's not like Zacchaeus said, okay, I'm going to quit thieving, and I'm going to quit stealing, and I'm going to quit cheating, and I'm going to quit being so mean and all that stuff, and then I'm going to go find Jesus. No, Zacchaeus didn't do that. He was still a tax collector. He was still a thief. He was still a liar. But Jesus came to where Zacchaeus was, and he called Zacchaeus out of that tree, and he called Zacchaeus out of his sin, and he saved Zacchaeus. God's favor on the undeserving. Zacchaeus deserved Jesus coming to his house? Did Zacchaeus deserve Jesus Christ forgiving him? Absolutely not. But Jesus did. How about the thief on the cross? I mean, let's think about this. Why was he hanging on the cross? He wasn't hanging on the cross because he was one of Jerusalem's most upstanding citizens, right? I mean, you didn't crucify someone just because they were such a good person. They were crucified because they had been found guilty in the court of law. And they were their crime was punishable by death. So he's there hanging on the cross. Did he deserve Jesus to say, today you'll be with me in paradise? Did he deserve that? No. But Jesus drew him to himself while both of them was hanging on a tree. Jesus changed his heart. Jesus changed his life. Jesus changed his eternity while he was experiencing the sentence of death. And that's amazing. Did he deserve the favor of Jesus as he was hanging on the cross? No. Whatever he was doing, he deserved. He was being punished for his crime. Jesus changed his heart there on the cross that day. It wasn't because he had turned over a new leaf. It wasn't because he was doing things right. Because of the grace of God that brings salvation to us. The grace of God. The centurion, we'll take the time to turn here. Let's turn to the book of Matthew, chapter number 8, verses 5 through 9. This centurion knew who he was. A leader of the Roman soldiers. And also now, what do we know about Roman soldiers? You watch any movie, and you watch a Roman soldier, and what do we know about them? They're normally not the best guys, right? Normally, they're strong, they're brutal, they don't have compassion, right? So here's this centurion, Matthew chapter number 8, verse number 5. And when Jesus went entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth sick at home of the palsy, grievously tormented. And he said unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof. You see, the centurion knew his worthiness. He knew he was not worthy of the Lord coming to his home and healing his servant. He knew. But speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say unto this man, go, and he goeth. And to another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. This centurion knew that he was not worthy of Jesus coming to his home. This centurion knew that he was not worthy that Jesus would heal his servant. But Jesus was gracious to this centurion. And Jesus healed the centurion's servant. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said unto them that followed, Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith. No, not in Israel. Jesus was gracious to this centurion, even though this centurion knew he didn't deserve the grace of Jesus Christ. Let me say this. If you think you deserve the grace of God, you'll probably never receive it. Those that receive the grace of God are those who understand they don't deserve it. They don't deserve to be accepted into God's presence. They don't deserve to go to heaven. You understand you're guilty. You've broken God's law. And if God was just, would be just to you at this moment, He would condemn you to hell immediately. You know you don't deserve the grace of God. If you think you do, then you'll probably never receive the grace of God. You see, just like this centurion, we need to understand we don't deserve the grace of God. None of these people who experienced the grace of Jesus Christ deserved it. What about the Philippian jailer? What were jailers? What was their job? Their job was to punish people, right? Their job was to inflict pain upon them because they have broken some law. And yet, when Paul and Silas were in jail, and maybe even the Philippian jailer was the one that brought their wounds to them. Maybe just earlier in the day, the Philippian jailer had beaten these men as part of their punishment. And you know, right, that Paul and Silas are in there singing and praying, and there's an earthquake comes, and the doors of the jail are opened, and the Philippian jailer, because his punishment, if one of his prisoners escaped, was death. And so when the doors of the jail was opened, he knew that all of his prisoners had escaped, so he was just going to take his own life. And Paul and Silas cried out and said, do thyself no harm. We're all here. Right? And the Philippian jailer came to know Jesus. Because of his person, because of who he was, and because of his career, and all that he was, did he deserve that the grace of God come to him, and for him to be saved, and all of his household? Did he deserve that? No, he didn't, did he? But yet, the grace of God that brings salvation came to him and saved him and his household. Paul says this about himself in 1 Timothy chapter number 1. He's talking about himself, and he's talking about his past life, and he's talking about how that he used in his past life, how he was responsible for the punishment of Christians. 1 Timothy chapter number 1, verses 12 and 13. And I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious. I was one who persecuted Christians. I blasphemed the name of Jesus Christ. Did I deserve the grace of God because of who I was? No, I didn't. But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. You see, Paul obtained mercy. God didn't give Paul what he deserved. God gave him grace. God smiled upon him with favor. Paul didn't deserve it. Paul was on the road to Damascus, he was going to persecute Christians. He was going to take them to jail. They were going to suffer because of their claim of being followers of Jesus Christ. And while he was on the road to Damascus, Jesus came to him and saved him by his marvelous grace. Did Paul deserve that? No. He didn't deserve it. But God was gracious to him and saved him by his marvelous grace. 1 Corinthians now, chapter number 6, and this has become a very popular passage of Scripture for me because it is such it's so descriptive of those who are lost and those whose lives were changed. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6, verses 9 through 11 says, "Know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor adulterers, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you." These people in Corinth, what type of sinners were they? They committed every type of sexual sin imaginable. They were fornicators. They were effeminate. They were homosexuals. They were abusers of themselves with of mankind. They were homosexuals. They had sexual relationships outside the bonds of marriage. They were idolaters. They were drunkards. They were partiers. There was every type of sin imaginable that these people committed. Did they deserve the grace of God? Did they deserve for Jesus to be gracious to them and for God to convict them of their sins and to draw them unto Himself? No. What did Paul say about them? "And such were some of you, but you are washed." What are they washed in? They're washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. They are sanctified. What are they sanctified? They are set apart from the world and they're set apart to God. You're justified in the name of Jesus Christ. Their sins are washed away and their record is clean. They are saved by God's glorious grace. Did they deserve it? No. Look at the sin they were involved in. As you look at all of these that we talked about, all of these recipients of the grace of God, did any of them deserve the touch of God upon their lives to be quickened and to be made alive? And the answer to that question is no, they did not. But Jesus Christ came to them where they were, drew them unto Himself, and saved them by His marvelous grace. You know, there were those in the New Testament who did not receive the grace of God also, right? The rich young ruler came to Jesus Christ and said, "Good Master, what thing can I do to inherit the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God?" Jesus told him, "Go and sell all that you have and give to the poor, and you'll find favor." And the Bible tells us that he went away sorrowful because he had great possessions. You see, this rich young ruler, his possessions were more important to him than the blood of Jesus Christ. He just couldn't get away from the value of his possessions. He couldn't leave all of his possessions behind to follow after Jesus Christ. And because his physical, his financial welfare was more important to him than his spiritual welfare, he was not saved. King Agrippa said to Paul, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." But why did Agrippa not receive the grace of God? Because his position and his religion was more important to him than following Jesus Christ. And so he allowed his position in this world and his religion to hinder him from following Jesus Christ. And Simon the sorcerer felt like the blessings of God could be purchased. And so therefore, he did not receive the grace of God because he thought that he could buy it. See, these didn't find grace because they were so consumed with themselves, with their possessions, with their positions, with what they thought they could buy, that they missed out on the grace of God. Listen, don't allow the things of this world to keep you from seeing the need for the grace of God. What do you have? What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? There's nothing that this world has to offer that is worth spending eternity in hell. Your education. Listen, if you pursue education with such a fervor that it keeps you from following Jesus Christ, you're following the wrong thing. If your job and your possessions, if you pursue that so fervently that it keeps you from following Jesus Christ, you're following the wrong thing. If your position in this life keeps you from following Jesus Christ, listen, what's He going to profit you if you gain everything this world has to offer and you lose your own soul? Don't allow anything in this world to keep you from being a recipient of the grace of God. So what impact did the grace of God that He bestowed upon Paul, what impact did that have? Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter number 15 and verse number 10. One thing we will understand about the grace of God is that when it comes to someone's life, it does not leave them alone. It does not leave them unchanged. The grace of God changes an individual. It makes an impact in their life. And Paul says this about the grace of God, 1 Corinthians 15:10. "But by the grace of God, I am what I am." Paul knew who he was. He knew it was the grace of God that made him who he is or who he was. "And His grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was in me." The grace of God is what caused Paul to serve God the way he did. Paul understood it was the grace of God that had changed him from a blasphemer and a persecutor to a follower of Jesus Christ. Paul understood that it was the grace of God that had changed him from one being dead in trespasses and sins to one that is quickened and is made alive, and one is an heir to all the things that Jesus has. Paul knew the grace of God had changed him. And what did that cause him to do? Follow Christ. Serve Christ, labor for Christ, preach the gospel to the multitudes. It is the grace of God and the understanding of the grace of God in his life that produced labor in Paul's life. The grace of God was not in vain because it produced fruit in the life of Paul. and everyone who is a recipient of the grace of God, the grace of God has the same impact on your life. It will cause a desire in you to serve God. It will cause a desire in you to tell others about what Jesus Christ has done for you. It will cause in you a desire to bring forth fruit for Jesus Christ. It will change your whole concept of life. That the things of this world will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. What's this world have to offer me? Nothing. So I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to live in the world because I have to. But I'm not going to live with the same goals and ambitions that the world has. My goals and ambitions are now going to be to share with others the glorious grace of God. It produces labor in you. The grace of God was not in vain. The grace of God accomplished what God had designed for it to accomplish. The grace of God produced labor. Well, let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter number 9 and verse number 8. 2 Corinthians chapter number 9 and verse number 8. And you say, well, how am I going to serve God? I don't know how to serve God. What am I going to do? 2 Corinthians 9, 8 says, and God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. Just as the grace of God is that which brought salvation to you, it is the grace of God that is in you that will give you the sufficiency, will enable you to do everything that He wants you to do. In all things, you will be able to do every good work that God has given you. So that it is the grace of God that saves you, it is the grace of God that changes you, and it is the grace of God that enables you to work. You can say, well, I don't have any great skills. I can't do this for God, and I can't do that for God, and I don't have any great skills. Well, no, none of us do when it comes to serving God. The only ability that we have is what the grace of God has given us. So it is the grace of God that gives you the ability, the sufficiency to do whatever it is that He's called you to do. The grace of God is going to produce in you fruit. It's going to produce labor in you. The grace of God is going to abound in you so that you will be able to perform the works that God has called you to do. So now, we understand that the grace of God coming to you changes you. And it will change your heart. It will change your heart. The grace of God to an individual produces a gracious heart within that individual. Listen, as Emmanuel Missionary Baptist Church, as you move forward in your future, always keep the grace of God in your heart. Preach salvation by the grace of God and have a gracious heart as you move forward. Now today, I want to kind of conclude this message, which is it's a lengthy point, but it's still the concluding thought. I want you to think about the... I went too far. I want you to think about examples of those who were gracious to others because of God's grace to them. Very simple, right? Jesus Christ said on the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Here was the very Son of God. Here was the one that the Bible says that by Him were all things made that were made. Here was the one that had the power to heal. The Holy, just one. The one when they examined Him, they found no sin in Him. Not even in His words could they find a way to condemn Him. His words were always wholesome and pure. Not only His actions, but His words. And they've hung Him on a cross. They've brutally beaten Him. His visage was marred so much that you couldn't even tell that He was a man. And yet as He's hanging on the cross, He says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. See, that was His heart. His heart was not about giving others what they deserved. His heart was about giving folks what they didn't deserve. Think about Stephen. Stephen is preaching unto them the truth, and even though it's a difficult truth for them to receive, what did they do to Stephen? Well, they stoned him to death. They stoned him to death. And what were the dying words of Stephen? Acts chapter number 7 and verse number 60. Verse 59 says, "And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God." And here's what he said. "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. They were stoning him because he was telling them the truth. He was giving to them the words of eternal life. He was giving to them the words that they needed to hear so that they might know Jesus. And they stoned him to death. And his dying words were, "Lay not this sin to their charge." You see how the grace of God had given Stephen a gracious heart. That he wasn't saying, "Hey God, won't you strike them dead because of what they're doing to me? I'm trying to preach for you and they're persecuting me and they're killing me. Won't you strike them dead right here, God?" No, that wasn't his heart. He was, "God, lay not this sin to their charge. Be gracious to them, God. They can't help it. They're lost." I mean, I'm reading into now, you know, they can't help it. They're lost. They don't understand. They don't understand what they're doing. Be gracious to them. He extended mercy to them, asking for the grace of God. And you know, the amazing thing about this is, if you read the entire story, there was a young man by the name of Saul of Tarsus who was there. Stephen's response in that day had a huge impact on Saul of Tarsus, because we know, right? He became Paul the Apostle. Think about the Good Samaritan, right? Without getting too deeply into this, a Samaritan is one who was hated by the Jews. And here you have a Jew who was robbed and was beaten and was laying beside the road, and a few of his fellow Jews come along and would do nothing to help him. But here was this Samaritan who knew, no doubt, if the Jew laying in the ditch met the Samaritan, he would have bad things to say about the Samaritan because of who he was. He would have probably walked to the other side of the road if he was able. And the Samaritan knew that he was hated of the Jew. Yet here lay the Jew in the ditch. And what did the Samaritan do? He picked him up and took him, saw that he was cared for, paid for his care. He was gracious to that Jew. Right? Grace in our heart causes us to do things for others who are undeserving. Jesus had much to say about this, right? Turn to the book of Matthew, chapter number 5. What do you do when someone treats you bad? What do you do when someone hurts you? Are you evil back to them? Do you give them what they have coming to them? Do you make sure they get what's coming to them? Jesus says this, Matthew 5:39. "But I say unto you that you resist not evil. But whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain or two. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away." What's Jesus saying here in his words? Don't give people what they deserve. Give them grace. Why should I give others grace? Because God has given you grace. Did you deserve the grace of God? No. But God gave it to you. Do they deserve your grace? No. But give it to them anyway. Because He was gracious to you. You be gracious to them. You see, the grace of God is going to have an impact in your life. "Oh, but you don't know what they've done to me." Jesus doesn't say if they deserve it or up to a certain point. Listen, They were killing Stephen. And Stephen was gracious. I've not been treated that bad yet. Up to the point of killing you, you should still be gracious. Jesus, the Word of God also tells us to be gracious in our speech. Colossians chapter number 4 and verse number 6. Oh man, I would love to take the time, but I don't want to take the time. We could really develop these thoughts much more, couldn't we? Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, then Colossians. Colossians chapter number 4 and verse number 6 says, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. This tells us that in speech we need to be gracious towards others. Take thought of our words and be gracious to others. Ephesians 4:29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. That, what does that mean, minister grace to the hearers? Your speech should be such that grace is able to be understood. They understand that you're being gracious to them. You're not being mean. You're not being harsh. You're not being hateful. You're being gracious. You should pay attention to what Jesus is saying. Listen, we should pay attention to the way that we speak and that we should minister grace to others, not giving them what they deserve. Grace. Philippians 4:5 says, let your moderation be known unto all men. The word grace is not mentioned there, but moderation is equitable, fair, considerateness, gentleness, your demeanor towards others. So, let grace be the rule of your life so that you're gentle, you're considerate, you're fair with others. They understand you, that how you're being gracious, that you're a person that lives by grace. How our world would change if just all of us who profess to be Christians spoke with grace and lived with grace towards others. How our world would change. You see, the reason that our world would be impacted, it would be noticeable if God's people lived with grace in their hearts and they dealt with others with grace in their hearts. Our lives would be changed. Our world would be impacted. Lastly, Romans 12:17. Oh, wow. Romans 12:17. Render to no man evil for evil, right? Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. You see, let others know your gracious spirit. The grace of God, and I have a lot more to say, but I'm not going to say it today. When dealing with others, the grace of God, which God has given you, let that be the ruler of your actions. Have you received God's grace today? Has He changed your life by His grace? Deal with grace towards others, because this world needs grace. Do you know what a sinner needs? They need grace. What did the woman taken in adultery need? She needed grace. What's she going to get from the world? Condemnation? Rejection? That's what she's going to get from the world. What she needs is grace. You know someone who's a drug addict. You know what they need? They need grace. You know someone who is a liar, a thief, just every type of sinner imaginable. You know what that person needs? They need grace. Because that's what you needed, right? Didn't you need grace? Where would you have been without the grace of God? I'd have been lost and done and in hell. If it would not have been for the grace of God. What I needed was grace. What you needed was grace. What people out there need? Grace. Some of you here today, you need grace. All of us here today, we need grace. Let's remember how important the grace of God is. And let's allow the grace of God to impact our lives, the rest of our lives. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this opportunity. We can come to you today and learn from your word. And God, we just pray that your Holy Spirit will speak to us. We know that you tell us in your word that it is sharper than any two-edged sword. And so we know as the word goes forth how sharp it is and what a change it makes in people's lives. We pray today, God, that you will change lives for your glory. Help us, Lord, to be more gracious to others. Lord, if there's one here today that does not know your Son, Jesus Christ, as their Savior, we pray that you will save them by your marvelous grace today. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.